This is the Improved Photography Podcast, episode number 104. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Improved Photography Podcast. Today, you are joined by thousands of photographers from all around the world, from all different skill levels, doing all different types of photography. And this is the show where we all come together and talk about photography that we love. Some of us are doing it as a business, others just as a hobby. But today is an awesome episode because I am joined by Chris Smith, and we're going to talk a little bit about night photography and in the city, and a really cool opportunity that you guys have to come meet with me and Chris and do some photography in Chicago this summer. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Good to talk to you, Jim.
Well, tell us a little bit about the conference and who you are, and then we're going to get talking about night photography and more of the technical stuff as we go.
All right. That all sounds like a plan. So this year we're doing the second annual Out of Chicago conference. I've been running the site Out of Chicago for just over 3 years now, and it's all about shooting in Chicago. But we decided, hey, let's do a conference. Let's get everyone together. Let's bring in some speakers. A lot of the speakers are from Chicago, but we've got people coming from all over the world. And people are going to come. They're going to learn. It's June 26th through the 28th. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, we've got all-day workshops, a reception in the evening, and then classes all day Saturday and Sunday. And we've got some amazing people coming, including you. And it's going to be a ton of fun. I mean, for me, myself, I'll say this. I think that if I lived in Florida, I'd probably be like a bird photographer. If I lived where you are, I'd probably be a landscape photographer. But I live in one of the greatest cities in the world for shooting architecture. So I shoot a lot of architecture, cityscapes, that kind of stuff. So that's kind of my background. And but we've got tons of different types of photography at this conference, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, that's awesome. And I guess we'll give more information on how to sign up for the conference and stuff at the end. The website is outofchicago.com. I know a lot of people listen to the podcast as you're at a computer. So if you are, go to the website and you can check it out as we're talking. But you know what? I really like what you said in the introduction about kind of shooting the things of where you are. When we had Lindsay Adler on the podcast a little while ago, she was saying that she was from a kind of a smaller town, and she was trying to do fashion photography, and it was tough, but she made do. But eventually, you know, kind of found that she needed the bigger market. She needed to be in New York and LA and the big cities if she wanted to do fashion photography. And sometimes I see that from people who, you know, they're in a big city, they're in, you know, New York or something, and they say, "Oh man, I just want to do wildlife photography." I think, this isn't going to be frustrating for you. Like, photography isn't going to be fun. Sometimes you know, it's not that you're totally reliant on where you live, but every location where you live, you have something special. You have some kind of unique opportunity. And so be willing to try some different things that maybe will work where you are. And there's always something photographically that you can do.
Absolutely. I mean, you kind of got to adapt to what you're given. And a lot of people I see, you know, they follow some other photographers and they love that style and then they try and do it. But you just sometimes don't have the opportunities to pull that off. So you got to do your own thing. And it kind of is dependent on where you are, or maybe a move like Lindsay Adler.
Right. Yeah. I hear a lot of questions from photographers. You know, they'll see that, you know, I'm traveling around a lot to do photography, and they'll say, "How do I break into travel photography?" And I was like, it's going to be really tough. I mean, how are you going to find somebody that's going to pay you to travel around the world to take photos? There are some opportunities for that, but that's going to be really hard to break into. But you know what? Every town has a street, and so how about you go do street photography where you are? Or every town, even if you're in a tiny town, has people. How about you get some regular people and try some model shoots, or, you know, or macro photography? Every town has small things. Go take pictures of a flower.
Or go in your basement, you know? And do it. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that was a big thing when I first started this, and I said, you know what, I want to build something more than just me putting my pictures on Flickr. And I said, you know, I could be one of these people. There's tons of them out there that are like, I want to travel the world. I want to see all the sites. I want to get to this city. I want to get to that city. But everyone is doing that. It's an easy thing to do. And to me, I decide I'm going to go the other way around. I mean, I have a full-time job teaching here in the suburbs of Chicago. I've got a family. I've got two young kids. I said, I'm going to be staying here for the most part. I'm going to make my photography about Chicago. I'm going to try and be like, you know, Ansel Adams didn't travel the world. That's not what he got famous for. You know, he's out in Yosemite. You know, I'm going to try and be like the Ansel Adams of Chicago and do Chicago right. And I think that everyone's got an opportunity to do that for wherever they are.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome attitude. So you're a school teacher?
That's right. I teach high school physics, and that's a lot of fun. And there's a little bit of photography related there as well when we're talking lenses and that. But yeah, that's what I do. And I do this one in the summer for the most part, and I do it in the evening. So yeah, I love it.
That's awesome. I love seeing people who don't feel like they're trapped in where they are and make photography work for them wherever they are. That's really cool.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned that you're doing a lot of photography of the city, and that's something that I really don't do. I don't do a lot of architecture and city photography, mostly because city photography in Boise is a little dull. We have, you know, three or four kind of taller buildings, and that's about it. You know, it's hardly a booming giant city. But so tell me about it. I'm anxious to learn a little bit about it. How did you get started shooting the city, and what are kind of your favorite things to do when you're shooting the city?
Sure. So, well, I mean, I got started. I mean, kind of like I think a lot of people nowadays, you know, you get a nice camera, and I think that my story is very, very similar to a lot of other people. It's like, oh, we just had a kid. I should get a nice camera. Uh-huh. And then it builds from there. And it's like, oh man, okay, now I got a nice camera. What's there to take pictures of? And then you get on Facebook or you get on Flickr or whatever it is. You're like, oh, these are some cool pictures downtown. And that's kind of what started it for me. And I spent one full day downtown shooting, and I was absolutely hooked. But what's happened for me now is that it's not so easy to say, honey, I'd like to leave you with the kids the entire day, and I'm going to go take pictures. That doesn't always work so well. So usually what I do is, you know, we'll put the kids to bed, and I'll head out. And so most of my photography is at night. And so that's where I've really found my niche, I guess, is shooting the city at night, because I'm going out after the kids are in bed. And I just think that there's so many things that you can shoot in the city that are okay. It's kind of cool. It's an interesting pattern or whatever you might be seeing, some sort of like an abstract shot. But when you start to shoot at night, or you're shooting like at the edges of the night, you're going at the blue hour and that, it changes everything. I mean, you're getting things like light trails from the cars. You're talking about getting cool starbursts from the streetlights. Like we said, shooting at blue hour, or types of like silhouettes that you wouldn't get any other way, where you got, you know, people in front of the streetlights. All sorts of long exposures. There's just so much you can do at night that you couldn't do any other time. It turns a really like just straight boring photo into something that can be really cool just because you're shooting at night.
I couldn't agree more. That's exactly how I got started doing serious photography, was exactly the same things. Kids go to bed and I'd go out and shoot. And,
exactly.
You know, I even mentioned in my beginning photography class that if you want to learn the exposure triangle, aperture, ISO, and shutter speed, the mm-hmm. very fastest, just go out for one night and do night photography. Things click so fast when you're doing night photography because, you know, you're trying to understand the shutter speed and trying to get it in your head. All you got to do is go out at nighttime and take a picture at 1/100th of a second, and then at a 30-second exposure, and suddenly you're like, oh, I see what happened. Everything's
right.
Streaked out from time, and we get a lot more light. I got shutter speed now. You move on to the aperture and just down the line. Because everything's so much slower, it's way easier to understand the exposure triangle.
Yeah, I never quite thought it through that way, but that's exactly right. Because you're shooting during the day and you start changing the shutter speeds, and it's like, okay, the back of the camera just looks totally white. You're like, uh-huh. I'm not quite understanding what's going on here. But yeah, you slow it all down. That makes a lot of sense. It is a good way to learn.
Yeah, and you mentioned the lighting as well. It's hard to take a photo with boring lighting at night, because it's the lighting that usually we don't see. And the most dull lighting that we can get in a photo is the lighting that we're just used to seeing every day. You know, if it's just noon on the street corner, You know, I just saw that 5 minutes ago. I don't know if I want that hanging on my living room wall. It's just, it's not interesting.
Exactly.
And so, so that's another thing that I think gives you a really good jump start when you're learning photography is to try night, because the interesting lighting kind of happens for you. I'm not saying you don't have to put any thought into it and that you can't get better, but it's tough to get bad lighting at night.
Oh no, you're exactly right. And I'll take well, new photographers and more experienced photographers, and we'll do workshops and tours down in the city, and it's so fun. People that are used to shooting landscapes, you know, maybe even in that golden hour or whatever, and people that are used to shooting wildlife, and to get them out there and shooting some night photos. And I've had people just stand at the back of their camera, and when it finally pops up after a 20-second long exposure, they just start giggling. They're like, I can't believe I just did that. Or I remember being out with like my sister, and I took a shot, and it was like a 30-second long exposure at night. And she's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe how crazy that looks. That looks so cool. I thought that you just did like crazy HDR to all your photos. It's like, no, that's what just a straight out exposure will look like, a long exposure at night. So I agree. And you're right. It's easy. It's not difficult to go out there and try it. It's not hard to do to make it look good.
Well, one trouble that I have when I go to a bigger city, and usually, to be honest, I have to grit my teeth a little bit every time I go to a bigger city. Everything just feels so busy. I just feel stressed by the end of the day. But when I go out to shoot in a bigger city, I guess it kind of feels like a maze. There's just so much happening. How do you decide a good location to go shoot, or is it kind of all the same? I mean, buildings everywhere you look. Where's the right place to go?
I'm not sure if you're trying to toss me a softball here or not, but but if you're coming to Chicago, I mean, I spent a ton of time writing the Photographer's Guide to Chicago. It's 100 of my favorite locations to shoot here, and that's been a really popular book, ebook, and that's one thing to do. But there's so many different things. You know, you can do, you know, whether it's just going on Flickr and searching by a location, or, you know, Trey Ratcliffe's Stuck on Earth, I think works pretty well. All these different things will give you ideas. Just searching online, it's amazing what you can find for different locations in a city. But at the same time, it's fun to just wander and hope to get lucky. And in Chicago, that's easy to do.
So somebody's coming into Chicago for the weekend. Where's the one place you say, you got to go shoot this place?
That's a tough one, because and I've had this experience where I'm like, man, I'm going to take these guys on a tour and it's going to be amazing. And we go to these crazy places that no one knows about and we get some really cool photos. And then we go to walk across, say, like the Chicago River, and we're on a bridge and they're like, whoa, why didn't you take us here? It's like, well, that's where everyone goes. It's just like, but yeah, I mean, so that's it. There's, if you've never been to Chicago, there's a couple of places just at the Chicago River, shooting down the river. Great shots at night. The number one place, which whether you want to go there or not, is to go out by Adler Planetarium. That's the one view that you get the entire skyline. You're shooting across probably a mile worth of water, and the entire skyline's out past it. So if you want that shot, that's where you're going to go. But if you think, well, everyone's got that shot, then you don't go there, because that's all that's there. But yeah, okay. So out by Adler Planetarium or the river, or the other great place is in the Loop. If you're down in the Loop, which is where the L train will loop around, if you're inside that area, that's kind of the business district, but that's where all the big buildings are as well. And so if you just wander that area, there's a couple streets. Like if you cross across LaSalle Street, you're going to look down it and see the Board of Trade, and any person that has an iPhone on them is going to be like, oh, geez, that is a shot. I got to get that. So that's a great spot as well. So those are kind of like the big places to go to.
And what kind of gear do you use when you're doing this kind of shooting?
Yeah, you know, I was just listening to your interview with Tony Northrup, and and they were talking about the 6D. That's what I use, the Canon 6D, and how good it is at shooting like for night photography. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I use. I use a 6D. I loathe it when, you know, and when I'm trying to shoot sports or trying to shoot my kids and they're running around. But for that, if I'm using manual focus, which I'll do 100% of the time when I'm shooting at night and shooting on a tripod, the 6D is wonderful. So that's what I use. And the other thing you guys talked about, and I totally agree, is that it's more about the lenses than it is the camera when you're picking what system you want to go for. And so I chose Canon because I use a lot of the tilt shift lenses. I have the 17 millimeter and the 24 millimeter tilt shift lenses, and that's what I use for a lot of my shots.
Okay. Well, very cool.
Well, here I can say lots of stuff about equipment, though. I'll also say this, if you're doing this long exposure type of stuff, whether it's in the city or whatever else, and I'm sure you've said this a million times in different places too, to me, the camera is important, the lenses are more important, but sometimes the tripod can be even more important when you're talking about long exposures. So, I mean, there was a time a couple of years ago where I didn't have a top-of-the-line camera, I didn't have a top-of-the-line lenses, but I did have, like, as good as you could get Gitzo tripod with a great ball head, and that that's really, I mean, to me, it's not that it's going to take a better picture, but it makes it so much easier to get your camera in the right position and to get it exactly where you want, and you're not having to, you know, worry about things, you know, falling down or anything like that. I mean, having a good tripod is huge.
Yeah, it definitely is. And so are you still using the Gitzo? That's the brand you're stuck on?
I don't know if I'd say I'm stuck on it, but that's what I have right now.
But it's stuck on you.
It's stuck on me, yeah. But I have been looking at trying to get, I want to get something that's a little smaller. When I bought that, I was the guy that's like, hey, I can do all sorts of photography, and you never know when I'm going to use a 500 millimeter f4, and I might need this huge tripod to put it on. But nowadays, I'm not doing that kind of stuff, so I'm kind of thinking I might want a smaller tripod. I do have like a little Mi Photo travel road trip tripod. That one's great, and I have an even smaller one, but yeah, when I go out and I'm doing long exposures, I still use that Gitzo.
Oh, that's awesome. And what's the ball head? Did you say the ball head?
I did not. It is Arca Swiss. I think it's a Z1 ball head.
A lot of people are using the Arca Swiss ball heads. So if I remember right, the Arca Swiss, kind of their or the big thing that they advertise anyway, is that it's really lightweight.
No. maybe you're thinking of the Acrotech.
Oh, yeah. You're right. That is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. So I think Arca Swiss is really known for the Arca Swiss style of plate that you know a lot of people use now. But they have like one ball head out there, and I love it. I compared it to like the Really Right Stuff, you know, their top of the line BH55 or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I found that it was just a little bit better. I like the way it handled better, and so that's what I use, and so that's what I'm still using. But no, it's probably weighs as much as the tripod legs do.
Okay. All right. Well, we're really looking forward to the conference. Let's take a minute and talk about that. What are you going to speak on at the conference?
Oh, last year I didn't speak, but this year I am. And I think that it's just going to be on Chicago photography, the best places shooting at night, and kind of the things we're talking about here. But I'm going to go really in depth on how to get some great shots, some of the great places to go, so that afterward people would be like, yeah, I want to run out there. Couple of those more, you know, out of the way places. And I'm going to put everything I know about shooting in Chicago all into one talk. How about what you're going to be talking about, though? I think that's what people really want to hear.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about two things. First, in my first talk, I'm going to talk about composition. And this is something I've been putting a ton of time into. So I decided last year I wanted to put some time into really creating a good resource, a good book on photography. And there are lots out there. Literally, I have three cabinets above my desk, and they are full of photography books. I probably own 50 or 60 books that I read on photography. And, you know, all the time I'll just grab a couple books, even if I've read them before, and sit there with a highlighter and just kind of pour through it and see what tips I can get. Because you kind of forget things, you know, and you kind of want to, you know, think of things in a new way and stuff. And so
yeah,
I'm just always reading them.
Sometimes you read something for the first time and you're like, oh, okay, if you say so, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. And then you go back after you've learned more and you've gotten a little bit better, and then you're like, oh, I totally understand what they're saying now. Yeah. So
yeah.
Or after you've learned the hard way.
And then you're like, yeah, now I get it. I understand what you mean.
I see what he meant. Yep.
Well, anyway, I've been excited to put together a book, and I was trying to decide what to write it on. And I thought, you know what? I think the book that would sell the best would be about lighting and portrait photography. And I feel like I, I don't know, but I feel like I want to teach that in video. And so I thought, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to work on my portrait photography class and do a revamp of that. And then I thought, you know, the other thing that I get a ton of questions on, like every single day, I can guarantee I'm going to get asked about image sharpness. And it's something that's really frustrating for a lot of photographers. And a lot of photographers know the basics, you know, increase your shutter speed, but don't know a lot of the more scientific things of really how to get perfect, pristine sharpness in the photos. And so I thought about that one, but then I thought, you know what? The book that I want to read right now is a book on composition. And I just don't feel like composition in photography has really ever had quite the resource that it really should. And as I look at my photos and work of other photographers, like, it's composition. If you can get the composition and the lighting right, you can get everything else really wrong, and you still got a really nice photo. Like, that's the thing that makes up the photo. And so I literally own every single book on composition that's been written for photographers, for painters, for graphic designers. I've bought all of them, and I've just been pouring through it, learning everything that I possibly can. And there's a ton to learn. And I've learned a lot about how to appreciate art. Like, my wife likes to take me to art shows, and you know, when we go travel to other cities, she likes looking at the galleries and stuff of paintings. And I always look at them, I'm like, but it doesn't look real. It just looks like a bunch of paint smudges. And I just didn't get it. And I've been to the Louvre. I stand there in front of the Mona Lisa, and I'm like, okay, it's just a girl looking at me. I just don't get it. You know, I mean, some of them are, you know, they're nice, but I don't get why that's beautiful. You know, what's the difference between the Mona Lisa and other pictures that look so, or paintings that look so much more realistic? And as I've started to study this, a lot of things are starting to click for me, and I'm starting to really learn a ton of new things about composition and why some of those painters did some of the things they did that are just really genius. And I think as photographers, we're missing out on a ton of that stuff because, you know, we kind of just stick in the rule of thirds, leading lines, and we kind of stop our knowledge of photography right there. So in that presentation, I'm going to take that further. I'm going to kind of dump everything that I've been learning about composition and actual actionable things that you can do in your photos to take your compositions way, way, way deeper than just the rule of thirds. So I'm really excited about that. I've already put in a ton of time for it, and I've just put together my calendar for next year, and I'm chunking away large blocks of time to work on that composition.
Well, it's going to be amazing. And I'm just, you know, I just love what you're saying here, because I think that some people don't even realize that they need to work on their composition. And we had Art Wolf in over the summer, and he gave his Art of Composition lecture. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, some people came out and they're like, I just spent like, you know, $200-$300 to learn about the rule of thirds. And it's like, You just missed everything that he was saying. Like, he was saying everything that you're saying. You got to go study the famous painters. These people are like, oh, he wanted me to learn about the famous painters? Really? I mean, it's like, what he was talking about just was exactly what I needed to hear. And what you're saying right now is exactly what people need to hear. And they need to realize you got to go beyond that rule of thirds. You got to, there's so much more to how you're going to set your shot up than just a couple of little rules.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited to see your class.
Yeah. And so a practical example of that is I was out shooting with the Improved Photography Travel Group. We do free photography workshops all around the world. And we did one in West Virginia a few months back, and we were driving around, and it was foggy, and there were just, you know, the beautiful yellow fall color leaves on the trees and this fog and just a carpet of leaves on the ground. And so we stopped the car, and I jumped out, and I probably took 50 photos there, and I looked through it, started looking through them in Lightroom, and it was no, 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 no. Ah, that's the one. That photo looks good. No, 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 no. The camera settings were the exact same in all of these photos. You know, there was nothing tricky to do. It was just, you know, get a decent exposure. But, you know, each shot, I move my tripod like an inch here, an inch there, move a little bit this way, a little bit that way. And I realized I looked through all those 50 photos, And one of them worked. And I said, well, wait, why did it work? You know, because, you know, they all kind of follow the rule of thirds. I put the horizon in the right spot. The composite or the camera settings are the same. So I obviously don't understand enough about composition, because if I understood a lot more, I wouldn't have had to try 50 times to find that one shot that works. I would have been able to see in the camera, this is going to work and that's not going to work, and not just shoot a whole bunch until I get one that's like, ah, oh, yeah, that one's okay.
Believe me, I know about that learning process. I'm right in the middle of it. But yeah, I mean, if you're shooting on a tripod, I mean, you ought to get every shot in focus. I mean, once you've learned how to use your camera, every shot's going to be in focus. And once you know how to set your exposure, that should be straightforward. At that point, I mean, if you're shooting a landscape, it's not like you have to wait for the right expression. It's not like you're shooting sports and you have to wait for the right timing. The only thing that's going to separate your shots from everyone else is the composition, where you stand and where you point the camera.
Yeah, and I'm not much of a history guy, and I already mentioned that I get bored when I go into art galleries, so I don't want to get all artsy-fartsy on everybody, but I want to tell you just a couple things that I have learned that have been just really neat. So talking about the Mona Lisa, I've never understood why that thing is so famous. I mean, it's fine, but, you know, I don't know. So I've been reading about it and just trying to understand what it is that other people are seeing that clearly I'm not. Clearly I have a lot to learn about that. And so I was reading a book that said, you know, if you look at certain parts of Mona Lisa's face, you'll see that some of them are sharp and others are intentionally left not quite as sharp. And if you cover certain parts of the face or pay attention to the sharpness on different areas of the face, it really changes the mood or the expression that she has. And so I started thinking about that and how photographers, and I looked at it and I thought, whoa, yeah. If you look at her nose that's sharper, suddenly she looks kind of upset. And then you look at her eyes and she looks like she has a warm smile. And it really was true. And so I thought about that in photography, and I thought, wow, you know, all we do is you're like, oh yeah, whatever's most important in the photo, chuck it on the rule of thirds line. You're ready to go, right? And then I thought, wow, if you apply that to photography, you can take it way deeper. What about if everything's in focus, you can place things wherever you want on the photo. You know, maybe you place the most important thing right in the center, but you make part of the photo a little bit sharper than the rest. And that's going to control your eye, and it can change the mood of the rest of the photo just by where your eye's focusing at. Because your peripheral vision is going to see things differently. So it totally opened up a new thought to me that it's not all just about placement. It's about sharpness of different areas. Because by controlling the sharpness of it, it also controls where how your eye is going to see the photo.
You're going to start doing this with your models now, aren't you? Well, I sharpened this part of your nose and we put a little blur in here. And no, that's crazy. Yeah, that's a good point.
Sharpen her left nostril.
There's more to it than just where to place everything. I like that. That's good.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just been really fun to learn. They're just, I mean, dozens of tips like that that I've got. This just I've just never really considered until I started looking at the work of some of the masters of painting and stuff. Well, we want to talk a little bit more about some of the things we're gonna learn at the conference. But before we do that, let's just take a second and thank our sponsor, which is Fracture. Fracture makes really beautiful prints. They print it directly on glass. Sometimes you'll see a laminated print that, you know, has just a regular paper print and then it's laminated on the front. This is we're talking ink on glass here, and it just gives a beautiful look to the photo. It kind of gives it it's just like it's so glossy, it's almost wet kind of look to it. I have one. It really looks good on especially colorful photos. And so I did a photo that I did on a workshop with Dave Black, And it's just turned out so good. I have it behind me, behind my office desk. So when you're watching in YouTube videos, look back there and you're like, okay, that's a Fracture. I see it. So definitely give Fracture a check. And it's not very expensive. You can get their smallest print starts at $15, and it's made in the United States in Gainesville, Florida. Definitely something to check out. Really neat company. And they're doing something really unique with printing. We kind of see the same things with a lot of the printing companies. And this is something really unique. So if you're looking for something different, want a photo that just really, really pops out that colors, go check them out. And we have an offer code, PHOTOSONGLASS15. And not surprisingly, that's going to give you 15% off your order at fractureme.com. And we thank them for their support of the Improved Photography Podcast. Well, Chris, we talked a lot about composition and some of the things we're going to be doing at the conference and your photography in Chicago. The other presentation that I'm going to give is about getting your photography noticed. Even for photographers that are not professionals, there's always everybody wants their work to be noticed. Nobody really takes photography for themselves. You can say you are, but you still want other people to see your photos. I mean, you really don't want to travel to Iceland, take a bunch of photos, only for them to collect dust on your hard drive. And so all photographers, you know, we like to share our work online. We like to share it with our friends, family, whatever your goal is. We all want our photography noticed. And some people, it's a business, and they really need their photography to be noticed. And I've had a lot of success with that. I feel like I'm a good photographer. Am I as good as some of the greatest people out there? No, probably not. But I've been good at getting my work noticed. And so that's what I'm going to talk about, is how you can drive attention to your work and get it noticed for whatever your aim in photography.
That's going to be awesome. I planned everything. I'm running the whole thing. So I get to plan the schedule, make sure I'm not teaching at the same time you are. So I get to see both of your things. I'm excited about that one. Both of those, actually. And you're doing one other thing. One other thing on Friday. Tell us what
Yes, that one. And that one is important that you kind of jump on this one if you're interested, because these photo walks before the conference start are selling out quickly. And it's very limited in how many people can be there.
There's 8 of them. 3 of them are already sold out. And I know as soon as you put this podcast up, yours is going to sell out as well. So, yeah. Tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, so we are going to do a truly epic portrait photography shoot, all in different locations in Chicago with a few different models. And we're going to use, we've mentioned on the podcast, Lindsay Adler's business, her Dream Shoot Rentals, where she has these, I mean, just incredible conceptual dresses, you know, with the 30-foot trains and stuff. And so we're going to have models there. We're going to have cool dresses, and we're going to do a full-blown fashion and portrait photography shoots on location in Chicago. It's going to be awesome. We're going to use multiple flashes, and we're going to work together to create some photos. It's going to be a really, really cool experience. Not something that most photographers have ever done. For most photographers, this is going to be a new experience, and I promise, once you've done one of these full shoots before, you're going to want to do it a lot more. It's just so much fun and a great opportunity to be able to do that with me, where we've already done a lot of the legwork for you, and you can just show up, enjoy the shoot, and see how this is done. And you're going to be, I mean, I'll guarantee you, you're going to come home from this photo shoot with some photos ready for your portfolio. That's going to be a neat experience.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you know some great places in Boise, but to come to Chicago and to get to do that is going to be awesome. Whether it's shooting around the L or with the skyline or whatever it is, it's going to be great. People are going to love it.
Awesome location, full shoot. It's I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be really, really neat.
Nice. Do you mind if I name a couple other people that are going to be there? Because
please,
this conference is going to be amazing. So we have people like Brian Peterson, the author of Understanding Exposure. I'm sure if you've got all those books, you've got at least a few of his.
I do.
Brian is amazing. He's a great teacher. He's going to be there. We've got Mike Motes, who does macro photography. Elia Locardi, you know, Elia Locardi, he does HDR and all that. And he doesn't have a permanent home. He just travels the world. He's that guy. He's that travel guy that travels the world and makes a living. He and his wife just do that around the world. If you're into street photography, it's Valerie Jardin. Thomas Luthard is coming from Switzerland. And Marie Lagneau is coming from London. Those three together, that's going to be fabulous. They're going to be shooting in the streets of Chicago, and you're going to get to go shoot with them. And we got Kevin Custer. He was the lead editor, the head photographer at Playboy for 18 years. And then he decided, no, I don't want to do that anymore. And now he just shoots on Instagram and runs like the biggest group, the JJ group on Instagram. And so he's going to be teaching about everything he's done and how it's got him to where he is now. So we got a ton of great people. We've got this guy, Jim Harmer. He's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. I can't wait. I've got people emailing me. They're like, you know, I just can't believe, Chris, that you got all these people together. Because I'm a nobody. I just decided, let's just do this. It's going to be fun. And everybody's in on it. And everybody's excited. And last year was amazing. People loved it. So it's going to be great. We just sold out of the super early bird tickets. We put 100 of them out there. They sold out over the weekend. They're gone. But we still have lots of spots left, and we're actually going to do a discount code for the listeners of the podcast. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, the offer code is IMPROVE. And to sign up for the conference, you got to go to out of Chicago. I'm already talking like
good. He's ready to come. Awesome.
Out of Chicago.com. And then you got to add the slash conference. It's a little bit hard to find the conference page if you just go to outofchicago.com. So go to outofchicago.com/conference.
Well, we are going to plaster it with banners all over the place. So if you do just go to Out of Chicago, you'll see it.
You'll be forgiven. Okay.
Yeah. So that's where you go. And with that offer code, you're going to get the same $150 off the conference fee that we had for the super early bird. So hopefully we get a lot of your people to come. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Very awesome. And before the conference starts, the day before the conference starts, we're also going to do a little get together for Improved Photography.
Yes.
So we can meet up with the listeners of the podcast that are going to be there for the conference. And so go to improvephotography.com/workshops, and that is the next time that you can meet up with me and go shoot. We have Oregon that's full, Southwest Florida's full, Guilin, China's full. I'm shooting a wedding that's full all over the next couple months, but June 24 in Chicago we're going to meet up, and I'm looking forward to meeting up with another group of you. We haven't been to Chicago yet, we're really looking forward to that.
Nice. When did you say that is?
That's 24.
Okay.
Is that right?
That's like Monday or Tuesday, I want to say. Mm. So the conference is the 26th to the 28th. So if it's the day before, it'd be 25, 25th?
June 25, just like I said.
Yeah. So no, it's going to be great. Yeah, I'm going to have to come hang out with all you guys. I've never been able to make it out to one of your things, and I had to bring you all the way here to make it happen. So I'm super happy about that.
Well, great. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you and hearing a lot about what you're doing with night photography in the city and some of the things we'll be talking about at the conference. Thanks, everybody, for your download of the Improved Photography Podcast. We appreciate it. The next episodes are going to be all question and answer from our Facebook page. We have a ton of questions that have come in, and so it's going to be all question and answer, and I think you'll really enjoy those episodes as well. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. It was a pleasure to talk with you, and we'll see you in Chicago.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim.